Our final scripture lesson from Luke 18. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told them this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers and evildoers and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector stood up at a distance. He would not even look up into heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and who humbles himself will be exalted. I need to say something very clearly at the end of this, at the beginning of this, I mean, that this passage is for church leaders and church ladies and elders and pastors, especially pastors. If you came into the sanctuary this morning looking for mercy, looking to confess your sins before God, looking to bow at the foot of the cross and just be forgiven, then this sermon should not convict you. If you came to this sanctuary broken and in need of healing, this sermon is not going to give you a whole lot. If you came into this sanctuary knowing your unworth, you're not going to get a whole lot out of this sermon, which is good, because this is supposed to be convicting. But if you came into this sanctuary believing that you deserve to be here, that you have earned your spot in that pew, this may be the moment that you want to tune out. If you've come into this sanctuary convinced of your own greatness, you might want to find a place in the church that the speakers don't work very well. Or you might want me to just start using the wireless mic so you don't have to hear me. Wow, that was really relevant. If you think that you have somehow found the formula for righteousness, then you probably don't want to be here today. If you are broken and in need of healing, we want to embrace you today. If you are righteous, this sermon is going to be a pointy stick. For two millennia, this church has done something that frustrates me. The pillars of the church, those who believe that they hold the church roof up, that they hold this church together, they have stood between the broken and the cross. They have convinced themselves that they are righteous, and you need to fit that their image of righteousness before you can be in this sanctuary. They have not come here for healing. They have come here for boasting. For 2,000 years, this church has done this, and it's time to stop. This is not a room for the righteous. This is not a cross for the righteous, because the righteous have no need of this room, and the righteous have no need of this cross. But the pillars of the church have decided that the broken, the truly broken, don't get to participate in the holy. They have decided that participation in the holy belongs to those who can fit an image. And you know what this looks like. No one actually comes into church and prays, "Oh, thank God that I am so great." It's not a song that anyone sings. If you are singing that, I want to meet you and I want your confidence. But you come into this building and you brag about your practices. You brag about how good you've done. Or you say things, and this is one that I love so much. You say things like, children need to be in worship so they know how to be part of the church. And I know people say that because people say it to me all the time. We don't talk about how to make church good and needed for those children. We talk about how if they're in worship, then they'll know how to participate in our particular brand of church. We don't talk about how to make this a more welcoming space. I mean, I had some things off of the past. I'm not talking about contemporary worship and contemporary work. Contemporary music. I'm talking about making this a space where a child's full self can be. Instead of convincing them that they need to fit into our mold. I hear things like, if they just went to church, they wouldn't be so bad. All the time. And yet there are so many people who believe that they do not even belong in a church because they are too sinful. The church has gotten something wrong. And we have a new and improved way of doing this. I don't know if this happened before, but it happens now. We don't talk about how good we are, but we brag about how well we confess. And I have pastor friends who do this, and it drives me nuts. We talk about how broken we are, but we always frame it in a way that makes us look better. You know that interview question that every interviewer asks, and it's so dumb? Does anyone know the question I'm asking? What is your greatest fault? Thank you, Tom. What is your greatest weakness? And what do you answer to that question every time? I work too hard and I'm a perfectionist. Every time. And you know what? Both of those things are awful. I don't want an employee that does that. Because they're either going to burn themselves out or they're going to make all the other employees try to burn themselves out. Those are actual weaknesses, but you never say them as a weakness. You always say them as a strength shielded as a weakness. And that's what church leaders do. When we publicly confess, we don't publicly confess to say, I'm broken and I need the cross every day. No, we publicly confess in a way that makes ourselves look good. Our confession, we're just broken enough to be relevant, but we're healed enough to where we're somehow better. Like if I say to you, I have doubts, but I just keep praying and I just keep showing up. And you know what? God makes those doubts go away. If you've been wrestling with God for 15 years, if you've been making those prayers, and it seems like every day God is less there and less present, and I tell you, oh, I have doubts too, but I just pray and they go away. Are you going to actually see me as broken or somehow holy? If that is my confession, that I'm just like, oh, God is somehow making me better, you're not going to confess. I guarantee you. What if we as church leaders, and this is specifically for church leaders today, what if we as church leaders, instead of doing these confessions that are actually backhanded compliments of ourselves and preach to how great our spiritual life is, and we mask our brokenness with perfection, What if we actually just started confessing our brokenness and allowing ourselves to be just as broken as everyone else? Like, what if instead of saying, I have doubts, but I pray, but God takes them away, I looked at you and I was like, you know what? 16 days ago in this building, I looked at somebody. I refused to hear them fully. I looked at them and said, I do not care about your legitimate frustration. My frustration is more important. I effectively look at them and said, I do not care about you. And that's not hypothetical. That happened 16 days ago, and it is still ripping me up inside. But you know what? As much as that rips me up inside, I've spent 16 days explaining it away, coming up with the reasons why I looked at a member of this congregation and said, I don't care about you, at least not today. That happened. In the last 24 hours, I have judged one pastor, despite the fact that we have shared 12 words and I know nothing about him. I wished another pastor would just not exist. I wrote off a ministry because I don't believe in the specifics of their theology, despite the fact that they are doing really good work. I did all of that in 24 hours, and that may not seem big, but when the basis of my theology is love, and I have spent so much time recently withholding love from people, like, I'm not broken, but in a cool, relevant way. I'm broken in a surprise they let me preach sometimes way. I'm broken in a way that I need the blood of Christ every day. Death and resurrection has to be part of my life, because otherwise this is for nothing. The church has no need for righteous people anymore. The church has no need for adequate and worthy people. And I'm not saying that we don't need gifted people. I'm not saying that we shouldn't strive to do better, but the church has no need for you if you are righteous. Has no need for you if you are worthy. Today, I declare the sanctuary for the truly broken people. For the people who need that cross, who need the blood of Christ, who need to be washed clean, who need to experience death and resurrection every day, because every day is marked by sin. That is who this sanctuary is for. If you are righteous and worthy without doubt and without question, you have no need for this sanctuary. You have no need for that cross. You have no need for Christ. Are you worthy? Are you adequate? Do you come into church and thank God that you are not like another person here? Does your confession sound more like bragging than an actual confession of sin? Do you say the prayer of confession and it not mean anything to you? Then this place has nothing for you. But if you are broken, if you are in need of healing, if you are in need of the love of a Savior, and a body of believers just as broken as you, then this place is here for you with open arms. And the blood of Christ was shed for you. But you have to bring your brokenness into this space. You have to bring your true confession and acknowledgement of your brokenness into this space. So today, are you worthy or are you broken? Because I'm broken and I need that death and resurrection every day. And I believe you do too. Let this be a space for the broken. Amen.